Le'inyan Sipure Dvorim Shel HaTzadik Ho'emes. Regarding the ordinary small talk of a tzadik emes. When you have a real tzaddik and he's not speaking words of Torah, he seems to be talking ordinary, regular talk about the news, about the weather, about this. Rabbeinu Zalkir is a parable to compare this to. L'moshel, for example, Roifei Shenechlo. You have a doctor who becomes ill. And now this doctor has to go to a specialist to cure him. The doctor who's the patient now, he thinks he knows what the healing method should be to cure him from this illness. But the big doctor knows things that the little doctor doesn't know. And he knows all kinds of methodologies that the other person never heard of. So too, you can have a person who comes to the rabbi or the tzaddik of the generation, Shehu Roifei Choylei HaNefoshos, who is a healer of the soul, Kefima Shehu Yodea, based on how he knows how to cure the soul of a person. Now, the person who's coming to this great tzaddik, he wants the tzaddik to give him healing based on what he understands. He figures he's going to go to this big rabbi and he's going to tell him he has to fast on Monday and Thursday and he can't do this. He has to read the whole Tehillim backwards. He thinks he has an idea as to how the great tzaddik is going to cure him. Avol be'emes hatzaddik yeshloi refuos udrochem yeshorim shetzorech lahanigoy lerefuosoi. However, in reality, the great tzaddik knows things that this person doesn't know at all. And he has his own ideas of how to really help this person. Sometimes the healer has to give the patient a certain medicine, where if he would give the person the medicine by itself, yomus, the person will die. The medicine is so bitter and it's so powerful that taking that medicine in its raw form would kill the person, b'lis sofek, without any doubt. Alkein, therefore, this medicine has to be mixed with other things. You can't take it by itself. It has to be mixed in with other ingredients to weaken it so that it shouldn't kill the person from its full strength. So too, there are people whom you cannot reveal to them the secrets of the Torah, the inner part of the Torah, which is what they really need to heal them. That's the medicine, that's the light that they really need to heal their soul. Ki ha-Torah hi refuah, because we know the Torah is a medicine. K'mesh kosev, as it says in Mishlei chapter 3, Rifus tehi l'sharecha, that the Torah will be a healing, a curing for you. Because we know the Gemara tells us that the Torah has two powers, Sam Chayim, the Sam Moves. The Torah can give life and the Torah can kill. K'moshu Mazal, as the Gemara says in Yuma, Zoch Onasa Loi Sam Chayim. If a person is worthy, the Torah becomes a healing medicine. Loi Zoch Onasa Loi Sam Moves. If he's not Zoch, the Torah becomes a poison. Therefore, if the tzaddik will take this person whose soul is very sick, and the tzaddik will feed him Torah in its raw form, yomus b'lis sofek, they'll die from it, spiritually or even physically. Ki etzloi sheloi zocha nasa samavas. Because by this person who is so spiritually sick now, this person doesn't have the ability to process the Torah in a constructive way. Therefore, the tzaddik has to hide the Torah, he has to cloak the Torah in something lower, something much easier to digest. He has to take secrets of Torah, the pnimius of Torah, and cover it up with lower level Torah that's much easier for the person to handle. Vilifomim, at times, the patient can't even handle that. Even if you take deep, deep high level Torah and cloak it in lower level Torah, that person cannot handle that right now. Therefore, the tzaddik has to take deep words of Torah and hide it, conceal it, cover it in small talk, ordinary talk, where the person thinks that the tzaddik's talking about the weather or the clothing, and he doesn't know that the tzaddik has been able to take deep concepts of Torah and hide it in the words that he's talking about. In order for this person to be able to receive the cure that's hidden in those words. Because even the Torah that we have today, that we, the Jewish people, have today, is hidden, is cloaked in stories. The whole Chumash Bereishis, half of Chumash Shmos, half of Shas, is stories and stories. What's going on here? Where's the depth? Where's the light? And the answer is that Hashem had to hide the light in these stories. He had to cloak it because we are not on the level to be able to receive it directly in its raw form, original form. Great tzaddikim know this. They look at each person and know this person can handle the Zohar HaKadosh. This person, we can teach him the writings of the Arizal. This person, if we teach it to him, we'll kill him. We have to teach this person much lower level Torah. And to this person, we're not allowed to speak any words of Torah at all directly. There's a story with Rabbi Nachman that one time his student, Rabbi Nosson Zal, came to him and Rabbi Nachman saw that his shoe was crooked. So he said, "Your shoe looks like a slap in the face." Just those words. Because it was bent out of shape. And then Rabbi Nachman smiled, and this was right before the Brit Milah for Rabbi Nachman's son, Rabbi Shlomo Ephraim, who was born a few days before. Rabbi Nachman made this joke. And then Rabbi Nachman smiled and said, "Now I challenge you to show me how the whole writings of the Arizal about Bris Milah is in this joke that I just made." And Rabbi Nachman proceeded to give a chapter in the Kutuman, chapter 63, where in these words, "Your shoe looks like a slap in the face," is hidden the whole Kabbalah about a Bris Milah, what goes on in a Bris Milah. That's one example. Then you have the example when Rabbi Nachman moved to Uman. Rabbi Nachman lived in the city of Breslov for 8 years. And then the last 6 months of his life, he moved to Uman, which was the source of the reform movement, unfortunately. And there, Rabbi Nachman came into contact with three aristocrats who were the major forces of reform Judaism in the world at that time. And when they came to his house and he was in the middle of a shir, he would immediately switch lanes and start talking about something else. And they said, "He's talking to us." One time they came in and he was in the middle of a deep shir and he immediately switched to the dimensions, the geometries, discussing the geometry of a sukkah, about a circle within a square and a square within. And they smiled and they said, "Hey, he ain't telling this to his student. He's doing that for us." And he played chess with them and he warned his students not to say any words of Torah to them. At the end of the 6 months, one of these guys came to pray with them on Rosh Hashanah. And when the maid came to offer him a cup of coffee, he looked at her, "What are you talking about? Before shofar blowing, I ain't drinking any coffee before shofar blowing." In 6 months of contact with Rabbi Nachman, he had taken them to a level where they cried when they heard that he passed away. They cried. They said, "If he would have lived a little longer, we would have become real religious people." Here again, we see that when it comes to great tzaddikim, we hear that Moshe Rabbeinu was Makariv Yisrael. Yisrael was the Pope. How did he do it? He pulled out a Shulchan Aruch. He pulled out a Gemara and started teaching him Eilu Metzias. Moshe Rabbeinu was on a level. He knew exactly how to talk to Yisrael and how to talk to Aaron HaKohen and how to talk to be able to connect with each and every one. Baruch Hashem.